Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome inside ESPN Studios. Oh, it's a beautiful day outside. It's a beautiful Friday. Really starting to feel like, really it feels like summer. I know we're getting into spring, but it's starting to feel like summer outside. And, it's great. We got through the first couple days of rain earlier in the week, and now we get rewarded with this beautiful sunshine as we head towards the weekend here. Welcome to the show. Very happy to have everybody join us. Sean is out taking care of some other business, so I am here flying solo today. Hope everything goes well with Sean out there. He wanted to pass along a big hello to all the listeners out there. And we'll have Aces front office man, Mr. Jackson Gaskins, join us on the phone in the next segment, and we'll dive into why he'll be calling us and talking to us today. But first, let's start off with some other local sports and what's going on around the pack. Realm baseball going through some late season struggles right now. Unfortunately, they dropped their last home series against Fresno State, getting swept by the Bulldogs, and then they looked to bounce back against Sacramento State on Tuesday. Unfortunately, fell 4-3 to Sacramento State, who scored three runs in the eighth inning to take that 4-3 lead. Next for the Pack, they will be at San Jose State. That'll be their final three-game series of the season. It'll also be their last three road games of the season until they return home for their final regular season game, which will be a one-off game against Pacific on Tuesday. The softball team last weekend dropped the series to UNLV 2-1. The Rebels took the first and third games of the series, but Nevada put a little pride in there and run-ruled the Rebels on Saturday, 8-0 in five innings. I was actually lucky enough to go to that game. My family and I went out there and enjoyed the beautiful weather on Saturday and got to watch a run rule game. Always great to see that when your team gets to really flex some muscle. And then Nevada's already started their final series of the regular season against San Jose State. Unfortunately, the Pack fell 3-0 in game one yesterday, but game two today in the third and final game of the series, and the season will be tomorrow. And then men's golf is headed to Athens, Georgia for the NCAA Regionals, getting to play postseason golf for the second year in a row. And really a solid, solid year from the Pack in on the men's golf side, winning a single season record of three tournaments. I believe two in the fall and one here in the spring. The Pack also on the verge of setting a single season scoring record, which currently stands at an average of 287.02, a solid score for any season for any kind of any golf team, really. And then Nevada will try to be one of 30 teams and also get some single participants in there for the national championship in a couple weeks' time. And then the track and field team also currently competing in the Mountain West Championships. Day three starts today, with the final day concluding the competition tomorrow. But the highlight, really, of day two came from Hilly Dobbs, who finished fourth in the 10,000 meter, but did so in school record time of 34 minutes and 33.91 seconds. That is a solid 10,000 meter time for any runner. And so to place fourth in school record time just lets you know the depth that takes place in long distance running. But still, that's a time to be very, very proud of. And then to the professional scene, Reno 1868 FC started the month of May off with a 2-2 draw against the Tulsa Roughnecks FC. Corey Herzog was responsible for both Reno goals. He came super close to having a hat trick if his first goal had not been called offsides, but then got right onto the scoring sheet a couple minutes later, because that does not stop Corey Herzog from being the force of the 1868. Two matches left for Reno this month, both on the road. First will be tomorrow as they face off against the Sacramento Republic FC in the Donner Pass Derby. They will be on the road against the Tacoma Defiance a week from tomorrow, and they'll have the rest of the month off before getting back into action in June. The Reno Express got their third win of the season, even though it was by way of forfeit. It was supposed to be their final game against the Skyhawks, but like I said, turned out to be a forfeit, giving Reno a record of 3-3 now. That completes the four-game regular season series between Reno and the Skyhawks. They split it 2-2. So there you go. Pretty evenly matched those two teams. And then the Reno Aces are wrapping up a road trip that has seen them go from Sacramento to Tacoma. They've been able to keep it right around 500 for that road trip, alternating wins with Sacramento, first losing the game one 8-2, bouncing back with a nice 7-6 win in Sacramento, and then coming away with another win 12-6 in game three before falling by the same score 12-6 in game four. And then they were able to take game one on the road in Tacoma, 4-3, what was a very tightly contested game between the two clubs. And then Tacoma being able to take games two and three by a score of 6-5 and 10-2. But Reno looking to win the fourth and final game of that series tonight. First pitch at 7:05. Pregame starts at 6:55 on our sister station, 6:30 a.m. Mr. Ryan Radke will have that broadcast for you. And then the Aces return home for a nine-game homestand. It'll actually be 10 days. They have a day off between their Salt Lake series and Tacoma series. But they do return tomorrow night with a 6:35 first pitch against Salt Lake. And tomorrow also is the first home game in the Copa La Diversión series with the Aces. We will have Aces front office man Jackson Gaskins on the phone after the break. Talk a little bit more about that. But right now, we are going to do our giveaway. I know it's a little earlier than we usually do it, but I want to give you, whoever wins this, I want to give you plenty of time because just heads up. So right now, the winner gets a pair of tickets to see Apocalyptica at the Silver Legacy Grand Exposition Hall on May 11th, which is tomorrow. So what you have to do, if you win these tickets, you got to pretty much come straight here, get them, and then you have to go over to the Silver Legacy box office to redeem the certificate before 4 p.m. today. That's why we're doing the giveaway now. All right, so caller number 9 at 775-333-0945. You get a pair of tickets to see Apocalyptica. You do have to redeem that gift certificate today. So just be aware of that. That goes to caller number 9 right now. Again, 775-333-0945. We'll be back with Jackson Gaskins right after this from the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the show. I'm joined on the phone now by Reno Aces front office man, Mr. Jackson Gaskins. Jackson, thank you so much for your time, man. I appreciate it. And you guys on a road trip right now, it's going pretty well. You guys have been able to hang around the 500 mark, first split in that four-game series at Sacramento, two games apiece, in what was really a back-and-forth type of series.
Yeah, Sacramento, it's always fun to play in Sacramento and to have a lot of those Giants fans come up. And I know we see a lot of them at Greater Nevada Field, but to have them in full swing in Sacramento is fun too, especially this year with the addition of Kelby Tomlinson onto our roster. To see him be a celebrity as he walks through those gates is always fun. And then Sacramento, I mean, since we got started 11 years ago, wow, they've been our biggest rivals. And the Giants have obviously had tons of success, so it's always fun to compete with them. And we were not happy to take two. We wanted more, but two wins in a tough place to play is always a positive.
And so far, you guys have had the same type of series with Tacoma, really back-and-forth type of affair, which is what you've kind of come to expect whether you're at home or on the road in the PCL. But what are some of the changes that you've seen in the team from Sacramento to Tacoma?
I think the guys are finally starting to come together a little bit. Our record might not show it, but we're playing really good baseball from top to bottom. And sometimes we might not have our best guys out on the field. But that's just the product of being a Triple-A baseball team is we want to see guys go to the big leagues and contribute. So a guy, for example, like Taylor Clark, who went up and made his major league or his first major league start, not his debut, but his first major league start the other day against Tampa. He's a guy that's been in our rotation for a little more than a year now. So to not have him in Tacoma definitely hurts us, but it's great to be able to turn on the TV and see what he's doing at the highest level and getting able to watch a lot of former Reno guys help the Diamondbacks win. And they're at the top of their division right now. So it's really rewarding for us as a front office and as a player development crew, I'm sure, to see our young guys go up there and contribute.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be great to see you guys return home. Starting this Saturday, you will start a four-game series with Salt Lake. And that first game on Saturday night will be the second game overall in the Copa de la Diversión, but it'll be the first home game for you guys in that competition. You were able to take the first game 12-6 at Sacramento, and now you guys get to return home for the first home game in that competition.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing, and it's a product of a lot of hard work from our front office, led by our general manager, Emily Jansen. This is her brainchild, and she's seen it through from start to finish, and this got in the works long before our season even got started. I want to say November, we started working on this project, and and finding sponsors and what we wanted to do and how we wanted to embrace our Latin community. And I think that we're on the right page, and it's going to be fun to see how the biggest little city kind of comes together around this event. And yeah, we're going to do it four times, but I think the first one on May 11th is going to be special, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how it goes. And the first 1,000 fans through the doors are going to get replica Los Corazones de Reno jerseys. So we're hoping that grows and the fandom grows with it, and we get to see them in the new red color, red, green, and yellow colors with a heart across their chest. I think it's going to be really special to see.
Yeah, those uniforms really do stand out. Very, very kind of different from what you guys have had in the past, and I think that's going to make it even more special for the audience and the players to be involved in that. And like you said, this has been a great idea spreading throughout minor league baseball. What are some of the impacts that you've already seen kind of come from this competition or maybe heard about coming from this competition involving the Latino community?
Yeah, I think the easiest one, or at least in my mind, that stands out is Albuquerque and even El Paso. They launched this program last year with, I want to say, 16 other minor league teams. And their attendance jumped through the roof, but by no means is this just about spiking attendance. If it was just about that, I don't think we would see the results that we are ultimately seeing across minor league baseball. The biggest part of it, I think, is drawing just not your everyday Aces fan, someone that wants to celebrate their culture, and we want to make Greater Nevada Field an avenue for everyone, whether you're a baseball fan, a soccer fan, a concert goer, or someone that just wants to celebrate your culture. We're trying to open our doors to you and give you something that you might like. So if you're looking for Hispanic food or any Latin food, we're going to have that at the ballpark. If you want to hear great music that is true to your culture, we're going to have that. You're going to have an opportunity to meet a lot of our Latin guys, people from the Dominican Republic, Mexico, Cuba, you name it. We have them on our team, and there's not a lot of opportunities for these guys to interact with our fans due to the language barrier. But in these situations and these Copa games that we're going to do four times this year, it's really going to open up the eyes to our fans and to even our players and give them an opportunity to connect and really bring the community together as one.
It would also be a great way for someone to get introduced to the game of baseball in such kind of a personal setting, to get to celebrate your heritage and then also get to kind of discover a new sport maybe in someone's life. It's a very cool opportunity. And then
we couldn't be more excited. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
And then a couple roster questions for you. I know Robbie Scott was moved to the injured list with an upper body injury. Is there any kind of idea on his timetable as of right now?
I'm not sure. Things have gone a little different in terms of injuries this year, kind of adopting the hockey-style upper body, lower body injury type. Robbie's been competing with us. He's a great player. So maybe he just had a little hiccup and he wants to get right before he goes back out there. I mean, there's a lot of money on the line with these guys, and the Diamondbacks are doing everything they can to – make sure our players are in their best physical condition. So it would be a disservice to the player and the team to send somebody out there that's not 100%. And also on the other side of the coin, it gives a young guy an opportunity to come up and make an immediate impact with our team.
And Kevin Crone and Jimmy Sherfy, two guys that are off to great starts this year. Have you heard any rumblings of possible major league time for either of those guys in the near future?
If you check social media, Kevin Crone needs to be called up right now, right away. I'm not a general manager, so unfortunately I can't speak for Mike Hazen or Mike Bell and what their plans are. But I can tell you they do recognize what he's doing. The Diamondbacks named him their minor league player of the month last month, or like 2 days ago. He's got 14 home runs, 40 RBIs. He's played like 32 games. He's on an absolute tear. That being said, they got another guy up there at first base that's a pretty good ball player himself. And Christian Walker, Aces fans, got a chance to see him for 2 years. And he won an MVP, and he's playing really well right now. So it's a waiting game. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when for Kevin. But I think his time will come at some point this year. It's just a matter of when. And then Jimmy Sherfy is been what Jimmy Scherfe is. He's our all-time saves leader. He leads the PCL again in saves. And he's just another guy. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And, I mean, the Diamondbacks played extra innings last night, so it could be as early as today. It could be later this week. It could be next month. But they're taking care of what they need to take care of here in Reno and helping us win games. And they've been pillars in the community as well. So it's nice to see, and we hope they go up and are successful, but we're going to enjoy them while they're here.
Yes, we will. We get to enjoy them this Saturday as they get to come home. We can't wait to welcome them back to Reno. But, Jackson, thank you very much for your time, man. I appreciate it. You have a good rest of your day, and we can't wait to welcome the team back home.
Sounds good. We'll see you there.
Big thanks to Jackson there for taking some time to talk to us as they get ready to welcome Salt Lake and get set for all the weekend festivities. But now I'm joined on the phone by our pal Ian Epstein from Prop Swap. And Ian, where else can I start? I have to know what fallout occurred from the ending of the Kentucky Derby last weekend.
Yeah, they usually call it the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, but that ended up being the most drawn out 25 minutes in sports. So we actually, I think I came on this on the show and talked about Maximum Security. We had one of our sharper customers turn me on to that horse. He had a ticket on Maximum Security at 35-1. He bet at a William Hill sports book, and he had it listed up for sale, but he had a price too high. And I told him, you know, because at that point, after the two big scratches, Omaha Beach scratched and another horse scratched, and I told him he had a price too high. He had a price at 1.5-1 odds, and I told him, you never won odds and you would get sold. And he's like, no, I actually don't really want to sell it that much. Like, I think this horse is going to win. And now while Maximum Security probably was the best horse out there, I'm sure he was kicking himself after that race for not selling. One interesting note, lastly, on the Kentucky Derby, we did sell 5 separate tickets on Country House, totaling a collective $30,000. So Prop Swap buyers collected $30,000 on Country House Derby tickets.
Wow, that is a lot of money for one horse there. But let's talk about the NHL playoffs, which now have 4 horses left in their race. San Jose, St. Louis, Carolina, or Boston, one of those 4 cities, will hoist the Stanley Cup. Who are swappers kind of favoring right now between those 4 teams?
Yeah, the St. Louis Blues continue to live on, and that has been the craziest story. I talked about last week how we had a guy, he sold a $10 St. Louis Blues ticket for $600. The Blues were the worst team in the league in January, so you could have gotten them as high as 300-1 odds. And in the past week, we have seen a couple monster Blues tickets come across our desk, including someone from Missouri was in Vegas in January, and he bet $400 on the Blues to win the Stanley Cup at 250-1 odds. And for those, you know, if you can do the math at home, that's $100,000 if the Blues win the Stanley Cup. And so we've been talking to him. He turned down $12,000 before Game 7 in their last round against the Stars. He rejected $12,000 for that ticket. It's now worth roughly $25,000. You figure there's four teams left. They got a 1-4 shot to win it. So that 100K ticket's worth $25,000. So we are in active negotiations with this customer, and we hope to get that ticket sold soon.
I can't imagine what he must have been going through watching those overtime periods between Dallas and St. Louis in Game 7. But let's talk about another series that went to 7 games. San Jose and Colorado had an exciting 7th and final game to that series. What kind of action were you seeing there? And what kind of action have you seen kind of around San Jose going into the conference finals?
Yeah, you know, I can tell you that down here in Vegas, everyone's rooting against San Jose, and they can't be gone soon enough. But nothing too crazy in San Jose. They were always kind of a favorite. They're a loaded roster, tons of talent, tons of experience. They added Carlson in the offseason, so they were, you know, we sold some interesting tickets on them, but nothing too huge, because they were never that big of long shots, certainly at least not compared to Colorado. Last week we sold a someone bet $20 on the Avalanche at 150 to 1 odds and sold that last week for $485 on PropSwap. So the Avalanche were, you know, that guy was obviously very smart to get out when he did. And so Avalanche were obviously a big long shot that got eliminated. On the other side of the bracket, the Carolina Hurricanes, although they lost game one, that's definitely an interesting story. We've got a customer who bet $1,000 at 45 to 1 odds last month on the Hurricanes to win the Stanley Cup. So that ticket was up for sale yesterday for $11,000, did not get purchased, and we'll see what happens as that series progresses.
Wow. And then to the NBA, we could have a series end tonight with Game 6 between Houston and Golden State. What's been the most recent action that you've seen around that series?
Yeah, so this Warriors-Rockets series has been insane. And so if you're watching Game 5, everyone saw KD go down with a leg injury, even if it was Achilles, or end up being calf strain. We'll see how mild or severe that is. But the cool thing about PropSwap that is available, that's only available here, is you can buy futures during games. So every sportsbook in the country takes down their futures odds when these games go on. Even if you wanted to bet, let's say, the Bucks during the Warriors-Rockets game, you can't. They take them all down. And so we've kind of become this in-play market for futures bets. So as soon as KD had that injury, with about 2 minutes left to go in the third quarter, we started selling Rockets tickets left and right. And it was still a gamble, right? So, for example, there was a Rockets ticket that sold for $1,200, odds of a little over four to one, and that would have been a great purchase if Houston had won Game 5. But, you know, there was still a whole quarter left to play. The Warriors pulled it out. And so, still not a terrible purchase. But the odds came out after the game. Rockets ended up being 5 to 1. This buyer got 4 to 1. So again, not a terrible purchase, but it was really kind of cool to see, you know, the prop swap market take shape when something that drastic happened on the court.
Yeah, and speaking of drastic things happening, the last two games between Toronto and Philadelphia have been drastically different for both teams. Going into Game 7, or heading closer to Game 7 now coming up on Sunday, what's been the action that you've seen through this series?
Yeah, totally up and down series between Toronto and Philly. You never know what type of Joel Embiid you're going to get. Are you going to get the All-Star, or are you going to get the guy who's sick and scores 8 points? Not too much of interest going on in this series. I feel like if you bet either of these teams, no one's really hit the panic button or given up hope just yet. I think everyone who bet these teams are still very confident in their team. And unfortunately, you know, one side's going to be wrong. One side's going to be right. But we're, no matter what, one of these sides after one more game is going to figure out that their ticket's worthless. So we're selling a couple of, you know, tickets here and there, but it's not really one of those things where, people are hitting the panic button or they're looking to get out because, each team has looked so good in these different games. And you say to yourself, if they can play this well every game, then, you know, they could go to the championship. But unfortunately, you know, they're inconsistent and they're not playing that well every game.
And I know the last couple of weeks I've asked you the swap opportunity to look for, and you've talked a lot about Milwaukee and Boston, but with the Bucks now advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals, what would be the swap opportunity that you would look for this weekend?
Yeah, you know what? It's the Bucks have looked great. I think the value might have dried up all on the Bucks. In my opinion, and you know, I'm just stepping up from PropSwap here for a second, the entire world is on Houston tonight. Right, the entire world is saying Houston's gonna beat the Warriors. They're gonna kill them. No Kevin Durant. But in my opinion, that's where you take the opposite approach. And there's gonna be a lot of pressure on Houston. Right, there was already a lot of pressure on Houston, and even more so now that they have to win this game because KD's not in the lineup. So if I have a play this weekend, I am taking the Warriors plus 7 points tonight, and maybe a little bit of the money line. But I think Warriors plus 7 is a good value bet for everyone out there.
Well, no doubt, pretty much every pair of eyeballs that enjoys basketball and enjoys sports will be watching that game six between the Warriors and the Rockets. Ian, thank you very much for your time, man. Always appreciate it. Can't wait to see what happens this weekend, and we can't wait to talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, Spencer.
Always fun to talk to Ian. I still can't believe that. $30,000 on one horse. That is mind-boggling amounts of money people are passing around and handling in the world of betting. But, you know, don't miss out your opportunity to get in on a swap opportunity on PropSwap. Download the app. Makes it super easy and a good chance right there to win a lot of money. But when we come back, we'll talk about where all the money is on the court as Golden State and Houston gets ready for Game 6 tonight, as well as other happenings in the NHL and some UCL action. That coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show here on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM. Game 6 of the Western Conference semifinals between Golden State and Houston goes down tonight. You heard Ian and I talking about it in the last segment. All eyes in the sporting world, or at least all eyes in the basketball world, will be on that game and what happens in it. And obviously we know that Kevin Durant will not participate in this game with that calf injury. He will be out. This game will be reevaluated next week. So meaning if this series does go seven games, he could very well miss the seventh and deciding game to this series as well. I'm not sure if it's going to play as much of a role that I've heard people think it'll play. It's definitely going to change the way the Warriors approach this game, because you're losing a big dimension of what makes your offense what it is so far, or what it has been with KD. But I feel like people have gotten so used to seeing this offense trying to operate in that system, they forget what they were before. This is a team that with Curry, Thompson, and Green kind of being that big center three, they've won a championship. And those three men leading that team set the NBA record for wins in a season. All three of those guys, Durant wasn't there when this team went 73-9. He wasn't. And I get that that team failed to win the championship that year, losing in the finals to Cleveland. But it's not like KD came and saved this Warriors team who had won a one-off championship in 2015 and then kind of plummeted. They came off that championship season and set a record number for wins in a season. So I get that KD offers a brand new dimension to this team, but this is still a championship-level team without him. I mean, KD got announced as injured and missing Game 6, and all of a sudden people just start saying it's over. Houston's going to win Game 6. They're going to force a Game 7 as if KD is the only offense on that team. I get that he's been the driving force, but Curry, Thompson, and Green can carry this team. They can. They've proven that they can. So it's interesting that so many people are jumping off the Warriors wagon right now because KD is injured. If the Warriors go out and win Game 6 tonight in Houston, I'm not going to be that surprised. This is still a team with championship talent on it, and we're acting. These are just a bunch of bench warmers now that have lost their one big star, and that's not the case. So I thought it was very interesting, the reaction to KD not being there. And if I'm Houston, this is something that I have to take advantage of with matchups and just trying to get the offense to be a little more open and flowing without KD and that crazy length and reach that he's got causing disruptions. But again, it's the talk around this game now without KD is that Houston's just going to walk onto the court and annihilate the Warriors. Or they're just going to get this home win, lickety-split, and move on. And I just don't think that's the case, because Houston could go cold. Harden's had fourth quarters where he hasn't shown up. What are you going to do, rely on CP3? Clippers tried to let the offense rest in CP3's hands. How'd that go? How many Western Finals did the Clippers make? You're going to need a whole team. And even with Kevin Durant not out there, I still think the Warriors are a more complete team than the Rockets. So even without KD out there, this is not a walk in and take this win for Houston. You're going to have to go out there, mind your P's and Q's, stick to your game plan, and be smart. Because Harden might not show up in the fourth quarter again. He might go cold. The whole team might go cold. You just never know in this game. What if Harden goes out and gets injured in the first quarter? I mean, you just don't know. And the fact that so many people are jumping off the Warriors bandwagon going, oh, that's it. KD's out for Game 6. Give this one to Houston. Let's get ready for Game 7. That seems utterly ridiculous to me. Not saying they're counting out the Warriors, but to basically give them some kind of handicap in this game seems ridiculous to me. But we'll see if Houston can force a Game 7. It would be the third Game 7 that the second round of the NBA playoffs would offer us, because we know we're going to get Denver-Portland Game 7. That's been a heck of a series so far between those two teams. Both, again, kind of trading lopsided wins. We saw the same thing in Philadelphia and Toronto. They've been relatively close games to start the series, and the last two games have both kind of been dominating wins for one team. And I understand that more in terms of Philadelphia and Toronto, because we've seen them be kind of streaky in the past, and we know Toronto's postseason woes, and Philly hasn't looked overly great in this postseason. They've looked solid. They've looked like a good team, obviously. They looked solid, but I don't watch Philadelphia and go, wow, they're definitely my front runner for a championship. Both teams have kind of been streaky, and we've seen what home court can do for streaky teams in the playoffs with games 5 and 6 in that Eastern Conference series between Toronto and Philadelphia. So I think it'll be interesting to see how Philly now approaches game 7 after getting just smacked around in game 5 in Toronto. And how does Toronto come back from this? Because they've got that crowd support down up north. They are pumped and they're ready to see these Raptors make a breakthrough. But I think the 76ers team is in that same spot. And that's why I think Game 7 will be arguably the best game of this series, because it's been back and forth. And again, fairly tight, not as tight as Denver and Portland have been, but these last two games have been so vastly different from the first four that it's just kind of a head-scratcher as to where this series is going to go. But I think Game 7 is going to be interesting. One, if Embiid can stay healthy, because even if he's falling down every other basket, when he's out there and can make an impact, it is a true impact. It's not like he gets you 8 points every time he's out there and you just kind of live with it because he's a big man and he can take up space. When he goes out there and actually puts forward an effort and gives something to you, it is special. And that's what Philly is going to need going on the road, especially because that Toronto crowd's going to be hyped. That whole Raptors team is going to be hyped. I mean, I feel like where the Raptors are coming from, they're under more pressure than Philly. I understand the sports city that Philadelphia is, and I understand the pressure that any Philadelphia team is under, but the Raptors right now made a one-player change, basically, in a big role, swapping DeMar DeRozan and Kawhi Leonard together. That's basically the one big change they made, and if it's that much of a change to take them to the NBA Finals, then what does that say about DeRozan, where his worth is for other teams? I mean, he's had a good showing in San Antonio, but they were really relying on him and Lowry, and if that was really the only difference, to swap DeRozan for Leonard, I feel like that's going to say something about DeRozan's level of play and Kawhi's level of play. If Kawhi throws this big fit in San Antonio that he wants out and he doesn't want to be there anymore, and then he comes to Toronto and takes the team, and even if he's there for 1 year, if he takes it to a championship or even to the finals, I think teams are going to look at Kawhi with a different level of risk and reward. All right, we're going to take the risk to bring this guy in that he might not be the best teammate every single day, but look at what he did for Toronto in 1 year. So I think Toronto as a whole and Kawhi kind of as his own player are feeling pressure more than what Philly's feeling right now, although it's a tight race between those two teams since. But I feel like Toronto is feeling a little more of the pressure in this scenario, especially now since the Maple Leafs are out of the playoffs. That's pretty much where all eyes are on right now in Toronto, are with the Raptors. Speaking of the NHL, four teams remain. We saw game one in the Eastern Conference Finals last night, Boston and Carolina. Very interesting game one between those two teams. Carolina looked like they had everything pretty much intact. They were really kind of dominating the boards, dominating the puck through the first two periods of play. And not that they were giving it to Boston in any sense, but they established position. They answered right back after a Boston goal in the first period. It was 1-1 going into the intermission. Hurricanes got a goal in the second period to really put pressure on the Bruins going into the third. And that third period was a mental collapse by Carolina. Two really sloppy penalties that gave Boston two power play goals in the span of 28 seconds. And boom, momentum's changed. I mean, from that point on, it's 3-2 Boston. And Carolina just looks completely deflated. And that's what's so tricky about a physical team with the physical type of play that Boston plays with. they know how to annoy you. They know how to pester you into making those dumb mistakes. They're going to hit you hard, but nothing too dirty, unless you're Brad Marchand. But it's all about getting the other team to a point where they're so mad or so annoyed that they make these stupid little penalties, and boom, you got a man advantage. And Boston was able to do that 2 times in a row, back-to-back, at the start of that third period, and that got on the lead, and they went on to add 2 more empty netters at the end of the game to win the first game 5-2. So I think Boston showed in that game, okay, Carolina, you can kind of, you know, play your own game here in the first and second period, but when the chips are down and those final 20 minutes, we're coming for you. And if that's the way Carolina is going to react to Boston's chippiness, it's not going to be a long series because Boston can do this every game. They can stay tight in the first 40, and then as soon as you think you've got them, boom, you're committing these dumb penalties in the third because you're trying to match that physicality, but you can't match it in the same style that Boston gives it to you. If that makes sense. But I still think Boston, as much as I would love to see Carolina win this series and be a wild card team in the Stanley Cup final, my gut says that Boston's going to win this series. I would think in 6, but again, if this series, if every game goes like game 1, it could be a sweep for Boston. And then, of course, San Jose and Colorado getting started tomorrow night. Should be a very interesting game between San Jose and St. Louis, a very interesting series between San Jose and St. Louis. Because two teams kind of on the opposite spectrum. San Jose has been kind of fighting for that top spot in the Pacific all year long. St. Louis kind of came out of nowhere about middle of the season and really started making a run. Really the last third of the season started making a run through the Central Division. So it'll be interesting to see kind of the approach from each team. San Jose gets home ice advantage, so that'll help them in game 1. But again, both teams coming off game 7s that were very tightly contested, very high pressure situations. So we'll see who can come off of that, keep a level head, and continue their charge to the playoffs. But I think that series is definitely going 7 games. And I feel like San Jose is going to have that little bit of an edge to get past St. Louis. So I'm thinking San Jose, Boston for the final. But if my predictions from the past year in sports has been correct, that probably means we're going to get a St. Louis Carolina final. But either way, it should be fun. And the UEFA Champions League final is set. And if you didn't get a chance to watch either of those two semifinal games this past Tuesday and Wednesday, you missed out on some of the most entertaining and show-stopping soccer I've seen in quite some time. It had 2 insane comebacks. Starting with Liverpool and Barcelona, Liverpool was down 3-0 going into the second and final leg, and Liverpool outscored them 4-0 to win 4-3 on aggregate. An incredible comeback. You think that's probably the comeback of the tournament, and now we'll go into Ajax and Tottenham and everything will kind of handle itself. But Ajax, who had a 1-0 lead coming off the first leg, added 2 goals to take a 3-0 lead on aggregate, and then all of a sudden Tottenham came out of nowhere. They scored 2 goals right around that midway point of the second half and then got the 3rd and final goal in stoppage time of the second half. And so they tied it 3-3 on aggregate, but Ajax did not get an away, only got 1 away goal in their first leg. So Tottenham's 3 in the second leg gives them that tiebreak on away goals rule. So it'll be an all-English final between Tottenham and Liverpool on the 1st of June. Should be interesting. Should be a fun matchup. These two teams obviously very familiar with each other, both competing in English League football. But should be an interesting matchup. It should be a fun one. We'll see how it goes. It's in Madrid. So, you know, Spain, very passionate football country. So I'm sure they'll have some bipartisan fans there just enjoying the soccer game. But should be a fun matchup nonetheless. Speaking of fun, maybe not if you were a better. But when we come back from the break, we'll talk about all the fallout from the Kentucky Derby and what we learned and what will happen from all of that. And then Formula One back in action, getting ready for the Spanish Grand Prix. We'll talk about some of the first practice sessions that they have had this weekend. That's coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show here on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. Well, it was a very interesting end to the Kentucky Derby about a week ago. And I read somewhere it cost bettors, I think around $9 million is the number I saw. I wouldn't be surprised if it was any more than that. But a crazy ending Never seen an ending like that to a horse race. Now, granted, I don't watch a ton of horse racing. I usually only watch the Triple Crown races, that being the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. But never seen an ending like that to any race. And so what's funny is I was at a restaurant with my family and some family friends. And initially when we get to the restaurant, the Kentucky Derby, they have it on the TV and they have it playing throughout the speakers at the restaurant. And then literally about 5 minutes before the gate opens, they switch the, because it was a Mexican restaurant, so they switch the music to some like fun party music because it was Cinco de Mayo weekend. So they were getting ready for their big Cinco de Mayo party, but they switched the audio from the Kentucky Derby to music. So my dad looks at me and goes, oh man, I wish they'd wait like 10 minutes so we could hear the race. And I verbatim looked at him and said, that's okay. They'll put the standings of the horses on the TV so we don't need to hear it. Of course, the race goes on and they do that. But then, of course, literally as horses are crossing the finish line, jockeys are dismounting from their horse and they run over. And next thing I see on camera is some guy talking on like an old-timey phone, like a landline phone, thinking, what in the world? I've never seen a phone on the track before. And then all of a sudden, there's a camera and three people in a room that I've never seen before. So now I'm dying to know what's going on. I want the commentators to inform me, but instead, I just hear this music playing where there is literally nobody else in the restaurant. There was nobody else in that area. So why they just up and changed the music, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I'm guessing, of course, they're getting ready to celebrate Cinco de Mayo, but when there's nobody else there, and we're all clearly watching the Kentucky Derby, you'd think you'd just wait until we got up and left. But I was freaking out, because what is going on? I just see these three people in a room, and they keep walking, they're looking at it from every single angle. And, of course, the disqualification is announced. And I couldn't believe it. I think I read somewhere that the trainer and owner of Maximum Security is going to hold the horse out of the Preakness as a way to protest the ending of the race. But I think I read somewhere else that the top four horses from the Kentucky Derby will not compete in the Preakness, which is pretty surprising, seeing as how, you know, normally who the winner of the Kentucky Derby is the big horse to watch to see if they can get the Triple Crown. And that's right off the table now. There's no happening, which is kind of a bummer. I mean, that's kind of the whole fun of these races. Obviously, the pageantry and the prestige is a big reason for it. But also, you want to see a horse chase the Triple Crown. And so the fact that we're not going to get that is a little disappointing. But I understand if there's an issue with the horse drivers and want them to run, but just interesting to see the way that all played out. And thankfully, I didn't have any money involved. I'm not a betting master. So I don't have enough money to be throwing around right now anyway. But very interesting end. And it'll be interesting to see how this changes the sport. Because anytime millions of dollars get affected by this, by an outcome in sports, something gets changed. There has to be a rule implemented or another official somewhere. Like, this doesn't just happen, go into the record books, and it's all forgotten about. This is going to cause a change to horse racing, and it'll be interesting to see what that is moving forward. But Formula One also moving forward, getting ready for the Spanish Grand Prix at the Circuit de Catalunya in Barcelona. And if you've listened to the show in the past, you know I'm a big Formula One fan. This season so far has been all Mercedes, going with 4-1-2 finishes in the first four races. And the first two practice sessions in Spain didn't look any different today, with Valtteri Bottas topping the timing sheets in both practice sessions, and then Hamilton right behind him in second in practice two. But the Ferraris have shown life, but again, they've shown life in other practice sessions this year and then just fallen flat in the race. Really had a chance, and it was Bahrain. And, of course, we all know Leclerc's engine failures in that took that win away from him and gave Mercedes another 1-2 finish. And luckily for Leclerc, the safety car came out on that. Otherwise, he would have finished fourth, and Verstappen would have taken that final podium position away from him. But it's been reported that Ferrari is going with an engine boost. They're going with a new upgrade to their engine specifically for Barcelona. So we'll see if that helps at all. Something is going to need to change if anyone wants to challenge Mercedes or their drivers this year. And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Catalunya, a very tough, demanding track in Spain. It could be the last time that F1 races at that track. It's the Spanish Grand Prix, not certain next year, possibly in talks of going back to the Dutch Grand Prix in the Netherlands this time next season. So we'll see how that shapes up. But that's the show, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, the streaming is up and running at sportsreno.com. You can stream any time of day. Just go to the website, top little button bar across the top, click on a station or listen live, and you'll be all good to go. And then first Monday show of the Spencer Wilson Show happens this Monday, May 13th, 2 to 3 p.m. So tune in. It's going to be a blast. Thanks for listening. Peace.